Welcome to the Zeljin stage of the RC3. This has been a very unexpected year. The new airport in Berlin opened, and a global pandemic killed 1.7 million people. As this year is very different, this Congress also is very different for us. This year, the Open Infrastructure Orbit and the About Freedom Assembly Cluster joined forces to organize this stage here in Berlin together. Before we tell you other information about that, right at the beginning, there's a possibility for you to be in the virtual audience. Under this link, audience.rc3.oyo.social, you can join the audience and be displayed. We have beamers installed so that we and other speakers later can see you while having talks. So now more to us, the assembly clusters organizing this. The About Freedom cluster is a cluster of assemblies that focus around technology, human rights, and climate justice. For example, this is what our cluster looked like at the last camp. And do you want to talk about the OYO cluster?
Yeah, maybe you remember the harbor of the Open Infrastructure Orbit last year and the year before in Leipzig. A lot of ships have been there, and now some of the members that took part in the Open Infrastructure Orbit in Leipzig are already, also here in Berlin.
Yeah, this is what their stage looked like last year. And now we come to a short introduction of the members of these organizations that participated this year in building this stage, building this cluster, and Andy's going to do that.
Yep, the first one is completely new to the Open Infrastructure Orbit and About Freedom. It's the CCCB. It's the Berlin branch of the Chaos Computer Club, the largest hacker association in Europe and maybe in the world. I'm not sure about that. And some members helped us building this wonderful room and the stage and organizing all that you can see us now live. There's also some remote help from C3 Space. They helped us in designing things and can't be here because they are not located in Berlin or somewhere nearby, and so they maybe have another assembly in the RC3 world. Maybe you can discover them there. And next one is...
Yes, this one's called Konzeptwerk Neue Ökonomie, or in English, something like Concept Space for New Economics. They focus on alternative economic concepts, and they try to create alliances, collaborate with social movements, and do educational work. And there's open source gardens. Open source seeds are seeds that everybody can plant, and the Open Source Gardens Project is a community of open source enthusiasts who plant open source seeds in their gardens and in community gardens.
Yeah, and another member is the Tor network, the anonymity network. You maybe all know where you can surf the internet in an anonymous way. They can't be here too, but they have talk tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. You will see in our schedule. And now we have a video introduction of all the other organizations that are part of the Open Infrastructure Orbit and About Freedom cluster in this year.
Hello to all of you. We are Digitale Freiheit. We are a bunch of young people who are committed to privacy and informational self-determination. We want to show that data protection is very important and necessary for a healthy democracy. In mass surveillance, we see a problem that concerns all of us, and not only the people with a computer science degree.
We started in 2017 as a student organization at university. Now we are a registered non-profit organization. We started with interventions, for example, as facial recognition tests started at the train station Südkreuz. We built camera heads, and for the behavioral tests at Südkreuz, we posed at X-ray skeletons. And as our Minister of Interior wanted to expand governmental and police hacking, we posed in underpants in front of the ministry.
But we also think it is important to bring organizations together and to organize broad protests against current surveillance expansion plans. For example, when there was a draft law that wanted to introduce facial recognition systems at airports and train stations, we initiated the alliance Gesichtserkennung-stoppen.de, which means something like banfacialrecognition.de. In that alliance, we demanded with other organizations that facial recognition technology has to be banned in public places in Germany.
We always work on content production themes like campaigns and texts, but also on things you can simply participate in, like printing t-shirts, organizing art or photo actions, designing leaflets or stickers.
It's actually quite easy to come by, to just drop by in one of our meetings. We will talk about net politics, but also plan new actions, and there's always something to do for somebody who's just starting out and is not super familiar with all the vocabulary and stuff. And on Plus, you can learn from us, and we can learn from you. Currently we are meeting on Jitsi every Thursday evening, and when the whole pandemic situation is over, we will also be meeting again at the TU. Yeah, drop by. You can find exact dates at our website again.
Hello, I'm Matthias Kirschner from the Free Software Foundation Europe. Since 20 years, we have been empowering users to control technology. Our work is based on three pillars: public awareness, policy work, and legal work. Free software, also known as open source software, is used in a lot of places, but people often don't know about it. That's why we spread the word that software freedom means that you can use, study, share, and improve it. We run campaigns, give talks, and organize information booths all around Europe. We interact with people from diverse backgrounds, often with people who have never heard about free software before. Software freedom is crucial for functional democracy and the distribution of powers. That's why we help politicians and public administrations to understand why free software is important for a democratic society. We give feedback to public consultations and answer requests by politicians and public servants. With our public money, public code framework, we provide materials which are successfully used by individuals and organizations to explain free software to politicians. Free software licenses build a solid basis for collaborative software development and ensure that developers' work stays free in future. Legal aspects of free software can sometimes seem complex. That's why we provide easy understandable FAQs and guidelines. We also facilitate a legal network where we bring people together to share and exchange knowledge about free software legal and licensing issues. We have come a long way since 2001 and built an amazing community. As a charity, we depend on your support to foster software freedom in the next 20 years, either by donating or by contributing as a volunteer. My first teacher once wrote down an African saying for me: many small people in many small places do many small things that will change the face of the world. Please join us on the long path to software freedom and contribute one small thing so we together can change the face of the world.
Welcome to PEP. PEP stands for Pretty Easy Privacy. The PEP Foundation is a non-profit advocating for the right to privacy and right to freedom of information. Our motivation is to turn the cypherpunk movement's dream that everyone should be able to protect their privacy using technical tools into reality. Make end-to-end encryption easy and automatic for everyone, everywhere was the goal when we created PEP. We wanted to do for privacy and security what Skype had done for voice over IP, take a complex technology and make it easy to use for everyone. We designed a solution that works for any transport, so it works for email, chat, IoT, financial messages, and so on. All our solutions offer fully automated and easy-to-use peer-to-peer end-to-end encryption in order to defend digital security and preserve privacy by default. We support free and open-source software projects, and all of the code we develop, such as PEP's core technology, Sequoia PGP, and GNUnet, are available as free and open-source software owned by the PEP Foundation. PEP Security owns the commercial rights to the software owned by the PEP Foundation. You can find the software and the source code at pep.software and interact with us at pep.community. PEP is currently available on the following platforms: Thunderbird, Outlook, Android, and iOS. And it is as easy to use as end-to-end encryption in Signal for messaging. It also exists as a solution for financial messaging. Thank you for your interest. Please reach out with questions and to establish some privacy in your email. We look forward to engaging with you.
European Digital Rights, or EDRI for short, is Europe's biggest network defending fundamental rights and freedoms online. We're a collective of 44 NGOs, activists, academics, and experts advancing digital rights in Europe and beyond. As part of our work to define the acceptable limits of artificial intelligence in a democratic society, we've been investigating and researching uses of biometric technologies such as facial recognition that are already in place in Europe right now. To give just a few of the many, many examples of where this is happening, in Italy, EDRI member Hermes Center have been collaborating with journalists to reveal the fact that these deployments have happened in the absence of safeguards and without a proper basis in law. In Greece, EDRI member Homo Digitalis have pointed to the fact that the European Commission has been experimenting with so-called lie detector tests against people on the move at Europe's borders. And another EDRI member, La Quadratura du Net, have been litigating fiercely against authorities, in particular one that deployed facial recognition technologies against young people in schools, and they won the case because the use was found to not be proportionate or necessary under EU human rights laws. And part of our work to do this has been in joining together across civil society, across Europe, to launch Reclaim Your Face, which is our new pan-European campaign to ban biometric mass surveillance. Through this, we're calling on European companies and European leaders to be more transparent about why and how they're deploying biometric technologies in our public spaces. It's a big ask, and we're going to have lots of exciting actions coming in 2021, which is where we really need your help. So if you go to reclaimyourface.eu right now, you can sign up to stay informed and you can learn about all the local, national and European actions that will be coming up to make sure that we can ban biometric mass surveillance and protect everyone's digital rights. And with that, from all of us at EDRI, we'd like to wish you a great RC3.
Hi everyone, my name is Jana. I'm a member of the Digital Society Switzerland, a Swiss NGO dedicated to strengthening everybody's fundamental rights. We're currently around 700 members. We're mostly volunteers like me from all walks of life and backgrounds and interests who want to help achieve a more sustainable, democratic and free public domain in our increasingly digitized world. We inform and counsel individuals and institutions. We carry out risk-benefit analysis of emerging technologies, also related to human rights issues. We offer services like Tor exit nodes, software projects, and workshops to digital privacy. We want to be a critical voice to public policy and a partner for informed decision makers in the legislative process. We also bring matters to court to strengthen civil society where necessary. We're engaged in sustaining the principles of net neutrality, strengthening data protection and security, and are working on modernizing Swiss copyright law. We support open data, freedom of opinion, and freedom of expression. So consequently, we counter excessive state surveillance, censorship, and network barring. We're organized in different working groups. If any of our topics sparked your interest, make sure to subscribe to our newsletter or get in touch. You will find the contact details on our website. We will connect you with the right group of people. Thanks for watching.
"2020 is different. Welcome to the remote assembly hall and the About Freedom space. I'm Sarah, and that's my colleague Leah, and we're both lawyers at GFF, Gesellschaft für Freiheitsrechte. Let's get right to it. Leah, what is GFF and what do we do?
GFF is a Berlin-based human rights organization, and we focus on strategic litigation, which makes us a little bit special. Strategic litigation means that we use legal means, generally lawsuits and litigation, to strengthen human rights and to ultimately push for social and political change.
Can you give us an example? I can imagine many people here know us from our work on digital rights, so maybe you could give an example of a case you've worked on this year beyond that field.
A subject that I've worked on a lot this year is the discrimination of queer families. So in the traditional example, if a woman gives birth to a child, she's recognized as the first parent. And then if she's married to a man, this man is automatically recognized as the second parent. And this is regardless of whether or not he's actually the biological parent. So if the couple used a sperm donor, the man, the husband, is nonetheless recognized as the second parent. But everything changes if that woman is married to a woman, a non-binary person, or a trans man. In all those cases, the child only has one parent, and the second parent is not legally recognized. And the only way to change this is for the couple to go through an adoption procedure. And that's a lengthy procedure which takes time. And it means that a government agency comes to the family and may ask questions about their finances, their health, or their relationship to the child.
That seems like a clear gender-based discrimination. So as we're a strategic litigation organization, let me guess, you're taking it to court.
Yes, we've taken it to court together with two wonderful families and two very good lawyers. We are bringing this before instance courts right now, and we're hoping to bring this before the Constitutional Court. And if we get a positive decision by the Constitutional Court, then that'll change not only the life of the claimants, but the life of many rainbow families out there.
That sounds great. So is strategic litigation always about winning a case, or is there more to it?
I think there's much more to it than just winning the individual case, because the underlying issue is much greater, and it's the issue of discrimination of queer people in general. So in our casework at GFF, we try to really look at three aspects in order to make a good strategic litigation. And number one is, I think it's very important to make the voices of those heard that are actually affected. So in our cases, the two queer families that we're fighting with, they have talked to media and they have had their story heard and impact and touch many people out there. And then secondly, strategic litigation is only one way of going about the bigger idea of challenging societal norms, for example. So we partner up with civil society organizations, in this case, major LGBTQI organizations and initiatives, and they work on these subjects in different ways, much more broadly, but also just with different methods. And then thirdly, strategic litigation takes time, and we're prepared to stick with it.
To continue this important work, we need your support. So join us in our fight for human rights and become a supporting member.
Hey, ich bin Lisa und ich bin Freifunkerin. Ich wollte endlich mal klarstellen, dass es bei Freifunk nicht nur um kostenlosen Internetzugang geht, sondern um viel mehr. Wir bauen gemeinsam ein freies und selbstverwaltetes Funknetzwerk, das alle Menschen in meiner Umgebung miteinander verbindet und das von niemandem einfach abgeschaltet werden kann. Mein Freifunkrouter läuft mit einer freien Software, der Freifunk-Firmware. Er verbindet sich mit anderen Freifunkroutern von Fensterbrett zu Fensterbrett, von Dach zu Dach. Aus vielen kleinen Funkverbindungen entsteht so ein großes dezentrales Maschennetzwerk, in dem die Daten von Knoten zu Knoten weitergereicht werden. Ich habe auch einen Teil meines Internetanschlusses freigegeben, den ich den anderen im Freifunknetz zur Verfügung stelle. Ein Internettunnel sorgt dafür, dass die Daten umgeleitet werden und ich mir um die dumme Störerhaftung keine Gedanken machen muss. Macht es wie ich, damit wir überall ein offenes und freies WLAN haben, in dem wir durch unser eigenes gemeinschaftliches Netzwerk surfen, Daten teilen und kommunizieren können. Geht zu Freifunktreffen, gründet eine Gruppe, sprecht mit anderen über Freifunk. Seid mit dabei und funkt einfach frei.
Seit 2014 gibt und wir sind vor allen Dingen in Nordostsyrien aktiv, betreiben da gerade ein Feldkrankenhaus in dem Camp Al-Bul.
Hallo, mein Name ist Tankred. Zurzeit bin ich für Carlos im Nordosten von Syrien. Hier im Al-Hol-Camp bauen wir zusammen mit unseren lokalen Partnern ein Krankenhaus auf. Um jeden der ca. 75.000 Menschen, die hier leben, eine medizinische Versorgung zukommen lassen zu können, bauen wir neben dem Krankenhaus eine Rettungsdienststruktur fürs Camp auf. Meine Aufgabe hier vor Ort ist es, die Mitarbeiterinnen und Mitarbeiter der Ambulanzen sowie der Leitstelle im Erkennen von medizinischen Notfällen sowie den Anleitungen und den Ausübungen von lebenserhaltenden Sofortmaßnahmen zu schulen.
Mein Name ist Vanessa, ich bin die Werkstattleiterin von Cardus und wir befinden uns hier im Crisis Response Makerspace. Hier realisieren wir unsere unterschiedlichen Ideen und Konzepte für die humanitäre Hilfe. Hier realisieren wir momentan zum Beispiel einen Verbrennungsofen für medizinische Abfälle. Des Weiteren entsteht hier eine Einsatztoilette. Außerdem bauen wir hier an einem robusten und reparierbaren Vitalparameter-Monitoring für die Einsätze. Alle unsere Projekte sind Open Source und werden frei zugänglich zur Verfügung gestellt. In unserer Werkstatt haben wir unterschiedliche Arbeitsbereiche, zum Beispiel einen Bereich für Metallarbeiten, einen Bereich für Tischlereiarbeiten, eine Elektrotechnik-Ecke und eine CNC-Ecke.
Das TÜV wurde 1984, also vor mehr als 35 Jahren, aus einer historischen Situation heraus gegründet, in der es galt, das Schweigen einer Zunft zu brechen, die maßgeblich an der Entwicklung automatisierter und informatisierter Kriegsführung beteiligt war. Die Gründungsmitglieder leisteten dem NATO-Doppelbeschluss offen Widerstand. Sie wollten die Informations- und Kommunikationstechnologie vor allem als Mittel der Völkerverständigung genutzt wissen. Wir wollen, dass Informationstechnik im Dienst einer lebenswerten Welt steht. Deshalb warnen wir die Öffentlichkeit vor Entwicklungen in unserem Fachgebiet, die wir für schädlich halten. Deshalb setzen wir möglichen Gefahren eigene Vorstellungen entgegen. Deshalb kämpfen wir gegen den Einsatz von Informationstechnik zur Kontrolle und Überwachung. Deshalb engagieren wir uns für eine Abrüstung der Informatik in den militärischen Anwendungen. Deshalb thematisieren wir Diversity und Barrierefreiheit bei der Computergestaltung und Nutzung. Seit 1988 veröffentlichen wir viermal im Jahr unser wissenschaftliches Fachblatt, die FIF-Kommunikation. Jährlich veranstalten wir die FIFCon und schaffen mit ihr einen Raum, ein aktuelles Thema aus unterschiedlichen Perspektiven zu beleuchten und zu diskutieren. Seit 2010 vergeben wir jährlich den FIF-Studienpreis für herausragende Abschlussarbeiten aus dem Themenbereich Informatik und Gesellschaft. Wir verliehen außerdem 2018 zum ersten Mal die Weizenbaum-Medaille an Wolfgang Koi. Mit der Bits und Bäume-Konferenz 2018 leisteten wir Starthilfe dafür, dass die Techies mit den Ökos vernetzten und die Bits und Bäume-Bewegung ins Rollen kam. Mit offenen Briefen und Stellungnahmen mischen wir uns in Debatten ein. 2020 hat besonders die Stellungnahme zur Aushebelung der Ende-zu-Ende-Verschlüsselung mediale Aufmerksamkeit bekommen. Noch vor der Entwicklung der Corona-Warn-App der Bundesregierung haben wir eine über 100 Seiten lange Datenschutzfolgeabschätzung für eine solche App veröffentlicht und damit entscheidende Impulse gesetzt. Wir haben uns 2020 für Rechtsstaatlichkeit und Pressefreiheit eingesetzt, indem wir die skandalösen und menschenunwürdigen Haftbedingungen von Julian Assange angemahnt haben. Wir sammeln Unterschriften auf assange.fif.de und initiierten eine allwöchentliche, abstandskonforme, sportliche Betätigung mit politischem Inhalt im Umfeld der britischen und US-amerikanischen Botschaften. Nachdem die Bundespolizei 2019 fast alle Teilnehmenden einer Demo im Grunewald anlasslos abgefilmt hatte, helfen wir nun, die Bundespolizei zu verklagen. Unter dem Motto Videoclips gegen Videoüberwachung gab es einen Adventskalender mit feinstem Content vom Quartiersmanagement Grunewald unter videoklage.fif.de. Auf den Kongressen des CCC sind wir seit über 10 Jahren fester Bestandteil. Wir freuen uns auf Begegnungen mit euch in der 2D-Welt.
Okay, so because the last, I think of the last videos, one was completely in German, so I will try my best to give a really short introduction to the FIF, but I can in no way do it better than they themselves. So on the workshop area, on the workshop page on rcu3.world, they have an introduction about themselves, so please read that if you're interested in them. The Forum Informatica Innen für Frieden und gesellschaftliche Verantwortung means in English something like Forum of Computer Scientists for Peace and Social Responsibility. They want to focus on the effects that information technology has on society, and for that they do public relations work, they do consulting, they produce tech studies, they publish a journal, they do a conference that was shown in the video, they give out a study prize, the Weizenbaum Study Prize, and they are doing a lawsuit against, I think, the police for video surveying an entire demonstration.
Yeah, and I wanted to say something about Freifunk, because the video was in German too. Maybe there were subtitles. Freifunk stands for Free and Open Wireless Networks. Freifunk is not just an organization, it's a whole group of communities all over Germany. And one of the points they have all together is the networks are open for everyone, and the initiatives are non-commercial, and there are also some other partner organizations in other countries, in Spain, Italy, Argentina, and so on. What can you expect from the Open Infrastructure Orbit the next days? We do have a Fahrplan, the schedule for our next days you can find at fahrplan.oeo.social, and on this Fahrplan you will find a wide variety of talks and workshops we do have in the next days. For example, the next talk that follows here is talk about face recognition, and it's called Reclaim Your Face. We do have workshops, for example, there is a workshop about RFID things and another workshop that analyzes YouTube algorithms with you, and you can find out some interesting things. And there are other talks about video surveillance, net politics. Cardos has a talk about some devices they build. And I think there are a lot of interesting things you can find under this URL, and enjoy it. All the videos are streamed via this channel, and they will be recorded, and you can also look up them afterwards. So now, Vic, does all this work in our orbit this time?
Yeah, it's a bit different from the last year, so obviously there's no audience, but our audience, you hopefully listening to us, sits anywhere in the world. So we thought of some ways how you can participate still, even under these different circumstances. So the first step is finding the talks you want to listen to, and the Fahrplan, as Andy already told you, is on fahrplan.ojo.social. So there you can look at the talks and look at the descriptions and see what talks you want to listen to. The second step is to be in the audience. So we have the Beamer set up that we already mentioned. So please join the Jitsi, I think it's the Jitsi room, under that link, so that you can be displayed in this room and be seen by the speakers, so they don't feel that alone standing here on the stage, because it's really at many people in this hall, and I think it's much easier for speakers to have their presentations if they see some visual feedback of people actually listening. So that's something, yeah, what you can do and how you can participate in it and help speakers make it feel more like an actual conference. The third step is, if you have a question, of course you want to ask that question, and you can. So we have three ways of contacting us. There's an ISC channel, it's called #rc3-oyo at the Hack and RSC server. And on Twitter and Mastodon, you can contact, send us questions over the #rc3-oyo. And these communication channels are monitored by people here with us, and the questions are displayed for the Q&A sessions after all the talks. So that's the way how you can ask questions, and then these questions will be answered by the speakers. Step four, after the talk in a normal conference, there would be some people going to the speaker, ask them questions. We don't want to miss out on that too, so there's a way to join a small discussion round with the speaker after the talk, which is hosted on discussion.rc3.oyo.social, where you can join that room after a talk and ask some additional questions to the speaker and, yeah, have a conversation. That's it for the talks. For the workshops, there's also a URL where you can find the workshop space, which is unfortunately only for people who have tickets, because it's hosted in a big blue button room, which is hosted in the RC3 world, so you need access to that to get into the workshops. You find the workshops also in the Fahrplan. And if you find a workshop that looks interesting to you, just drop by and go to that URL, and you will be guided to the right workshop room. That's basically all we have to say. We wish you a happy and nice and eventful Congress. Stay safe, stay home, and see you digitally in the RC3 world.
Thank you.